Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session.
Ohayou gozaimasu. Welcome to Fright School Nihongo Edition. I'm not Joshua. I'm Joe.
You are Joe, are yes. You sure? That was a lovely intro for our Japanese airing now of this
yes.
show.
Yes, we are now, we're big in Japan now.
We're, yeah, huge in Japan. Wonderful. Yes, this is a, we're Fright School is traveling to Japan for this episode. So we've watched Ringu. But first, before we dive into that, let's talk horror news. There isn't too much that that I found, although Sci-Fi has canceled Channel Zero after
Aww.
Four seasons. I know, right? And you were watching every single one, weren't you?
I definitely was.
No, but I actually really enjoyed the series, so I'm sad that they have decided not to go anymore. I mean, it's been hit or miss for me. I really liked the first two seasons, and then I watched like a little bit of the third, and I'm waiting for the fourth season. It's going to be on Shudder soon. So all of it streams on Shudder, which I do, I have, obviously.
So please go out there and, you know, get it while it's still streaming on Shudder.
But who knows? I mean, you know, if it does well there, they could always resurrect it.
They could. Know? I mean, and nothing is dead anymore.
Yeah. This
Nothing is
very
dead.
True. Yeah, they're constantly bringing new stuff back. The only other thing I saw is, I guess, did you see that Happy Death Day?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, they were a sequel, which I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. But they have a sequel coming out, Happy Death Day to You, letter, or number two, letter U. That's It's so clever, right? Beyond.
Yeah, you must. It had a budget of like $4 million, and then it made like over $100 million.
The first one?
Yeah. Like, wow. I remember reading about it because I was like, dang, that was... Of course they made a sequel. Like,
yeah.
You know, you must.
Which actually looks fun, too. I mean, it's kind of, it's very meta looking. But yeah, they have moved the opening date because of the Parkland shooting anniversary is coming up. So, which I think is... interesting. Again, you know, I mean, we have one of the most like violent medias, you know, I mean horrible stuff is constantly going on. I don't know what it feels so like disingenuous to me in a way to like oh, we're doing this in honor of, but you know, or like we're going to make changes out of like deference to.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, we're not really stopping anything from happening. I don't know. It just, it's a weird.
Because it's going to go up later.
It's a weird conversation because it's like, I feel like, I don't think art is responsible for life. You know, the things that happen, I don't think you can blame video games or horror movies or things like that. But we're constantly in this weird space where the creators of the content, even though they do defend their work, also will, like, you know, instead of just going like, we need to have a bigger conversation and refuse to like bend to these sorts of pressures from the media, instead doing that, it's kind of, and I feel it does make it seem like, you know,
yeah,
it causes, you know, like there's a causal relationship here.
Yeah.
So when so much of this, the real issues are about white supremacy and about toxic masculinity, which we're not talking about, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Anyways, so that's, you know, I don't, whoa.
So
don't
go
have
see
a,
it.
I don't have an answer again to these questions. I don't know what Lillian's problem is. She's freaking out.
I know, she's freaking out. She wants the love, but
yeah,
she ain't going to get it
from
me.
But he's laying down, behaving.
Yeah.
You know.
Watching the door.
Anyways, what else is going on?
I have a really long commute, and sometimes if it's a particularly heavy day of traffic, which it was last week when it was raining cats and dogs, I went to the movies by myself, and I saw Escape Room.
That's right. Look at you.
Look at me seeing a horror film. I really wanted to see Aquaman, but it was too late, and so... I saw Escape Room, and it was bad. No,
really?
Well, I mean, it was. I thought it was going to be more violent than it was. I was expecting violence on the level of like Final Destination.
Oh yeah. See, I looked at it and thought Saw. I figured it would be just a, like another in an endless like, you know, kind of copies of Saw.
Yeah, I see, I was also kind of thinking that, but I definitely feel like it had more of a we're going to make this a franchise and it's going to be more of a Final Destination feel because it didn't have the pathos of Saw.
Mm.
You know, it had the kind of like the everything was centered around the characters more than it was centered around the villain, which is kind of like Saw, I felt, was also really centered around the villain and not like who's trying to figure out the puzzles and stuff. So, but I mean, as someone who loves escape rooms, I'm not going to do one for a while. I can tell you that. But
where was it that those people like died in an escape room that they actually couldn't get out of?
No,
it was like
I didn't know. I didn't know there was one.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it was here in America though. But I was reading a story. I think like four teenage girls like died in like a fire or something in an escape room that they couldn't get out of.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was an accident, from what I understand. But yeah, that's kind of terrifying to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I have friends that have done them. You've done them, right?
Yeah, I've done them.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know much about them. I guess, like, they close you in a room, and then there are, like, clues and things, right, inside the room.
Yeah, so there's usually the rooms are themed with some sort of narrative. So it's, right, like, you have to solve the puzzle before time is up, and then, or otherwise you're dead or whatever.
Yeah.
So a couple I've done, there was one that was like 1920s mobster speakeasy.
Oh, cool.
And then that one was really cool because we were like, okay, we got this. We'll get out of here, no problem. And then we opened up like a door to another room. And I was like, oh, fuck, there's other rooms. And so then you like, and then it was really cool because it's like you had to like some of the, there was a clue for the second room that was in the first room that people like overlooked. They had to go back and, you know, so it was really intricate in that way. There was one that was, I've done one that was like a superhero theme. So like you had to like solve all the, get out of the room and get onto the roof. So that way you could deactivate the bomb before it blew up the city. And that was fun. The one that I think you'll like was they showed this in the introductory video to it was like kind of based on a true story that happened of like a murder, like serial murder that happened in Japan. And so they build this room as the Japanese horror room.
Oh, cool.
And then like when you were going into the rooms, you had to like figure it out, and there was some like Japanese horror elements. So that kind of it rings true to today because it was very. Oh, see what I did there? Rings true. It kind of holds true to today because, you know, we're talking about this kind of Japanese supernatural film. But yeah, that was the escape room that I did. Anything else in the news or anything else that we should talk about? This episode is a day late because it's a holiday, so, you know, because it's going to be, this is going to come out on a Tuesday, not a Monday.
School break.
School break, yeah.
Well, I mean, besides horror, you know, we have the drag minute.
Oh, Jesus. So, Latrice is back.
Yeah, that whole episode was like just a complete
waste, right?
Waste, you know.
It's like just bring Latrice back. You didn't need to like. Did we really think that like Pheromone was going to come back against Valentina? Did we really think? I mean, Gia Gunn turned it out, but Naomi Smalls like really like was the winner there, clear winner there. Yeah, there was no stakes.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I'm like, this whole thing is just manufactured to bring Latrice Royale back into the competition. And I don't. It makes me wonder, like, did they already have that planned? Like, or when she was eliminated, they go, oh shoot, we need another. Like, let's bring everybody back. Like,
you know,
we need to find a way to get her back in. I don't know. The whole just seemed very contrived. I mean, it was fun, you know, to see them all doing their lip syncs and stuff. But, yeah. You know, we were just watching. Like, there's really no. There were no stakes. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Either there was nothing invested. I mean, to be honest, I don't really have anything invested anyways. I mean, it's fun to watch, and, you know, I do enjoy seeing the girls do stuff, but I don't, at this point, I don't really care who wins.
Michael Verratti retweeted this picture that someone did. The same gay Twitter guy who did the witch Britney Spears back to back. He did one, Suspiria 2018, and it has their, like, I guess the one of the dances that the girls are doing in red, and it has Naomi Small's back bent on the front. I'll find it so we can repost it.
You should. That's hysterical.
But I was like, I love this.
Yeah, that just came out digitally, and it will be out next January 29th, I think, on Blu-ray.
So we'll probably be watching that for, you know, this kind of, you know, well, I mean, Joshua, do you want to talk about what we're doing next on the show? And yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. The cat.
The cat is all weird.
On what? What are you talking about?
Well, no, look, because it's a remake. You know, we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, we are. We're going to explore some of the remakes of movies. But I'm kind of excited to look at some, not only just like movies like the one we're watching today, Ringu, which is an original of, you know, a popular American horror film, but also looking at remakes of films that we've already watched to see, like, you know, to like just look at their relevance and their cultural placement, you know, given what the time frame that they were made in. So we have a variety of movies that we've reviewed in the past that, you know, have been remade now. And I don't know, I think it'd be fun to look at some of those.
I think so too.
I still have like a huge list of other movies we're going to watch, so don't worry. that we have not seen before in any form. So, but yeah, I did. I thought it'd be fun to revisit some, you know, there's The Thing, and I really enjoy Rob Zombie's Halloween. There's so many that have all left my brain right now as I start talking. That's okay. There'll be surprises.
Yeah. Surprises. Surprises forthcoming. Right.
But anyway, so that's, I would like to see that picture, so you have to share it with me, because I really enjoyed the new Suspiria. I look at it as something totally different from, you know, Dario Argento's film that we've reviewed, you know, before on the podcast that we've discussed it. I think it's something completely, it's just its own thing, you know, and there's room for both. Like everything, I mean, we've had this conversation a million times, you know, about remakes, and I'm just the kind of person that I like to see. I like to see things come back, you know, and be remade. And a lot of times it sparks interest in the original, which is awesome. But it's like, I also like to see, you know, actress, like with Suspiria, I love Tilda Swinton, you know, and she's great in it and so weird and just beyond. And so it's like, I can watch that and I can put the original in too, you know, and still keep on living my happy life.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I just don't get all, I don't really get bent out of shape, you know. I used to when I was younger, especially when, like, they remade the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I thought, oh, what a waste. But then it turned out to be really good, you know, and we'll watch that. And I think that they did a really, really good job with it, and spoke to, you know, a whole new generation of people.
Yeah, for sure.
But of course, a lot by the, you know, I don't know how many people nowadays, maybe younger people now would only be familiar with that version and don't even know there's one from the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know, but hopefully they do, you know, or hopefully they discover that and find, based on Toby Hooper's film of the same name, you know, and they just keep going back.
And just go all the way back.
You know, and that's the thing where, you know, Hollywood sucks, and, you know, that's part of like the capitalism. It's like, how do we continuously resell the same thing? You know, instead of
we have four Stars Borns, basically the same story.
Yeah. You know, and we've done, so many things over and over and over again. And even the stories now that we're telling and, you know, aren't even, like, it's not even the original film. Like, that, the original was based on something that the person had read, that it was, you know, based on something somebody had heard, and back and back and back, you know. There's only so many types of stories that we can tell, you know, so it's how we continue to reinvent them and tell them. That, I mean, that is the art of storytelling, of, you know, filmmaking, of music making, of everything, you know. There's only so many notes in the musical alphabet, you know, so, you know, it's not a surprise that we go, oh, that sounds just like this, because, you know,
probably does.
But it's like, but is it still good on its own? And that's kind of the question I ask, you know. And
yeah,
and that we can argue to death too, as, you know, as we've seen with some of our favorite people that, you know, do podcasts like ours, do horror stuff. Some of them go, oh, this was terrible. And I go, well, I thought it was good. But, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, to each their own.
Now, you know, there's not really a master's degree or a PhD in horrorology.
Yet.
Yet. So until there is, and somebody gets it and is like, well, actually,
I think once
this
we get,
is why you're wrong.
Once we get to maybe 100, 150 episodes, could you give me a PhD in horrorology?
Horrology?
I mean, I think I already have a master's in horrorology. I got an MFA in horrorology.
Right, in horrorology. That is a fine art, my friend. But I don't know, Joe. I think you're kind of still working on an associate's here. You know?
I just need my GED in horrorology.
Right. Heck, I don't even know what I'm talking about half the time. You know, I'm just you know, that's kind of the fun of it.
We out here.
I listen later and I go, oh, that's the point I was trying to make.
What's funny is that when I listen back to the show, you'll say something and then, like, I don't know if it's because I'm remembering what I said or if, like, that's just my natural, would have been my response anyway. But sometimes I find myself, like, repeating myself back to you.
Yeah, sometimes I'm surprised, like, especially now, because I am trying to go back and listen to the older episodes, because in tandem with looking at some of the remakes, you know, I want to go back and boost up the original episode that we did. So sometimes I'll think, oh, you know what I should have said, and they go, and then I say it, I'm like, oh good, I did
like, say
I don't
that.
Remember saying something, you know. That's how it is. You know, I try to be more positive, because mostly when I used to listen to it back, I just focused on, like, all the ums and the looks and the, well, you know, and the so, it's, you know, so just like that.
You know, so.
and so I'd get really, like, upset. But then, you know, I'm like, well, we say, you know, good stuff sometimes. So I'm just going
in the middle of those ums and you knows, there's some good.
Yeah, there's some points. And so sometimes I'm surprised when I'm like, oh, cool, I did make that connection. Good. There are some episodes that I think, oh, maybe we should go back and redo the. Maybe I have a better point now.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. I mean, I've learned a lot through making this and through conversations and having, you know, our different guests on. It's always it's interesting. Anyways, I don't know how we got off on this topic.
I don't know.
Point is, we have more episodes coming.
Yes.
For you to listen to this.
We're going to be, you have their stuff coming
on. So real quick, housekeeping stuff. You know, check out, we've got our Pinecast. Is it, what is it again? Fright School?
We have a website through Pinecast.
Yes.
Which you can listen, you can look at the website on the show notes for this episode. We're on Spotify, working on Google Play.
That's right.
We already been new on Apple.
Right.
And
we already done had heard us.
We had done had heard us on Apple. Put some money in our tip jar.
That's right. Know. There's the tip jar. We've got Monster Mania coming up in New Jersey in March.
We have a field trip. Pay your dues. We're doing fundraising for our field trip, so please do that. Joshua's going to come to your office to sell candy bars.
It's going
to
be so fun, I think.
Yes, it'll be fun. It's going to be winter.
It is, yes. But, you know, I'm going up to Big Bear this coming weekend for our friend's wedding party. So it's like the wedding party is all getting together for the weekend to plan and prep do
bond and
bonding. That's the word I'm looking for.
It's such a foreign concept.
Bonding, yes. So it's supposed to be like in the 40s there. So I think I could prepare myself with that, and then, you know, it's probably going to be way colder than that in New Jersey, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing the Jersey Ghouls. Looking forward to seeing
Matt and Horror Movie Night
guys. It's going to be a good time.
Do you think they have an X-rated version that's Horror Movie Night?
I don't know. You can ask them.
And it's just porn, and they like, can you imagine that podcast, but they review porn?
Yeah. You would have like an endless supply of episodes, though.
Oh, well, I mean, we have an endless supply of episodes right now.
Yeah. No, it's true. But I mean, if you were like really like, let's look at every video.
Oh,
let's,
God.
You know. And you could put it out there on there like pornhub.com.
Debbie does
ZRQ132-! Exclamation point.
Oh my God, someone's going to do that and come up with like, you know, my stepdad, my lover.
You know how it
lover.
Looks like they're long, like, anyways.
My stepdad, my lover.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to do
doubling
that.
Doubling down on that, huh?
I know. I really did. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Siri's going to perk up here and start playing.
I know.
Because like, she's so used to your demands. Your sick demands.
You the read.
Anyways, yeah, so we got lots of cool stuff happening. So stay tuned, and we will be right back to discuss 1998's Japanese horror film Ringu.
I just want to apologize. I'm sorry to everyone. I was very naive and very stupid, and I shouldn't have put other people in danger. I am so sorry for everything that has happened, because in spite of what Joshua says, it's now all my fault. I insisted our listeners subscribe to Fright School on Apple Podcasts. I insisted they leave us reviews. I insisted that they give us a 5-star rating. And it's all because of me that we're here now and we're being hunted. I love you, Mom and Dad. I am so sorry. I only wanted to make good content for our listeners. I'm so scared. I'm going to die out here. Joshua, is that you?
Welcome back. If you are in the San Diego area on January 31st, we have an exciting event to tell you about.
Yes.
No, we totally forgot in the news.
In the news.
Know, we're all wrapped up in our selfishness and talking about how wonderful our own podcast is.
I know. So on the 31st at UC San Diego, where the LGBT Staff Association is hosting a night of queer horror.
Yay!
Oh my God. Like, we love a night of queer horror.
I do. Every night with me is full of queer horror.
Exactly. Every night with you is a queer horror night. And what that means is basically Michael Verratti of the Dead for Filth podcast.
Dead for Filth.
He's going to be screening his film, his short film that came out last year, He Drinks. And then, of course, you may have heard of him. Sam Weinman is going to be also there as well, screening his film, a little ditty called The Quiet Room.
The Quiet Room. Yes, and you can go back and listen to our awesome interview with him. What's the name of that episode? Is it just called The Time for Queer Horrors?
The Time for Queer Horrors now.
Yes. Episode something.
Yes, episode whatever it is.
We will.
It's all on iTunes and Spotify.
Yes, and we will link to it again.
We'll link to it in the show notes here.
But yes, that's very exciting. I'm looking forward to attending there. This is not an official affiliated Fright School event.
No, it's not.
It's totally separate.
But it's
cool that it's
in
happening.
Our area.
Yes. So we're gonna come and. I'm going to go and take lots of pictures and bother people.
Oh, hell yeah. So I have a joke for you, Joshua.
Oh.
I have a joke for you.
Go ahead.
What do you get when you cross a British invasion band with a Japanese vengeful spirit?
I don't know, Joe. What do you get when you cross whatever you just said?
Yes. You get John, Paul, George, and Ringu.
Joe,
sorry, that was such a dad joke. That was not even a dad joke. That was like a granddad joke.
Yeah.
Where you patted me on my head.
It kind of, yeah, it's more like a kid who runs up to you and like makes some kind of joke.
Yeah.
And
you knock, knock, who's there? Boo, boo hoo. Don't cry about it.
Yeah. But even that was a little more clever, I think.
Anyway, what are we talking about today, Joshua? Jesus.
We're Joe,
not talking about Jesus, but
I love you. That was
the exclamation.
You worked on that, you wrote it, everything. So, you know, props to you.
Read me, wrote me. Yes, here we go.
Anyways, yeah, so we are talking about 1998 Japanese supernatural psychological horror film.
Supernatural psychological.
Ringu. Ring. Kicked off it was remade in America as The Ring and kicked off a huge trend in remaking Japanese and other Asian horror films.
Yes, other Asians.
So let's start with what you thought.
It was slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You're allowed to not like them.
Am I not allowed to like? I thought it was slow. I thought it was, it was hard to follow at some points, and there was just like, it reminded me a lot of Let the Right One In, in the sense of like it's just disorienting to read subtitles.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was, the pacing was also just really off, and then all of a sudden he has supernatural powers.
Well, they weren't all of us, they were hinted throughout the movies. You're talking about, of course,
Hiroyuki's Sanada, who, yeah, I know, Ryuji. Well, I don't know personally, but when the credits were going and I was like, oh, Hiroyuki Sanada is in here, and Joshua was like, do you actually know that? I'm like, yeah,
yeah, I thought you were being funny, like you're just reading off the names, like, oh yes, of course.
Yes. Hiroyuki Sanada has been in a ton of films. He was in Sunshine with Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
He was
in The Wolverine.
He was in The Wolverine. He was in he's in Westworld, in the most recent season of Westworld. He was in
good for him.
Revenge on ABC as the sensei who teaches the main character about revenge, because you know the Japanese just love revenge.
Yes, that is true. Yes. Well, I mean, lots of people enjoy revenge, mm-hmm. but the Japanese do make a pretty good.
They make
revenge
a good
horror movie.
They do. They do. Old Boy is also Japanese, right? Or is that Korean?
You know what?
Someone's yelling at this. David, young David, is yelling at this right now. Maybe. Maybe. Either him or Ashley, they're yelling at us right now.
They're screaming at you right
they're
now.
They're screaming at us.
It's South Korean.
Ah.
Yeah, at least the original. Because didn't they remake that too? Yeah, Spike Lee.
James Brolin.
Yeah. I haven't seen.
Oh, sorry, Josh Brolin, not James Brolin.
I've not seen the American remake, and I don't remember the last time I saw the original. Well, probably around the time that I saw, like, Ringu, Ichi the Killer.
Mm-hmm.
That was all, like, in that early, like, because definitely, like, once The Ring came out, and then The Grudge, like, you know, and you start finding out, like, or at least I started finding out, because I was only, God, how old? I mean, in 98, I was 14. So,
oh, wow.
17 or 18 when The Ring came out.
I was 9.
Yeah. Well, either way. So I was like 17, 18-year-old stupid kid. So then it was like, oh, my God, there's other countries that make horror films. No.
I wasn't. You mean there are other countries here?
No, but I started to like search for all that, and that's when I found like all those kind of movies. And like Three Extremes, which we talked about because of Dumplings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, I thought this would be fun today. I wish we had watched it on one of the days where it was raining, because I love this. Oh, my gosh, Lilium, stop it. She's so bad.
Such a bad kitty.
Like, The Ring is one of those kind of movies that I love to put in, because it, like, rains the whole time. It's kind of dark and moody, so, and Ringu's kind of the same way. I love when it's, like, just raining and, you know, watching that movie. Mm-hmm. But I chose it because I thought it'd be fun to sort of revisit, because it's the first horror film you ever saw was the remake.
Yeah, so first horror film, and I've said this a couple times on the podcast, first horror film I ever saw in a movie theater was with my cousins, and they were trying to find a movie that was an acceptable rating, and this one happened to be one. Or The Ring happened to be that movie, and that fucking shit freaked me out for a long time. And Joshua was like, when was the last time you watched The Ring? And I'm like, it was when I saw it in the movie theater. Never seen it again after that.
Well, there we go. Perfect. That's why I thought it'd be fun to watch this today. But it is very different. I mean,
the
story is a little bit more convoluted, definitely. It's subtle. It's nuanced. Like, you know, if you're not, like, watching every single minute of it and really paying attention. And I do think the subtitles are probably not the greatest, because a lot of times they're not. You know, there's probably nuance that gets lost in them.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so... But still, I thought it'd be fun because you had seen The Ring before to see sort of what it was based on. I like it because it's just, it is. It's a very weird, creepy story. It's very sad. It's got lots of tragic stuff in it.
Yeah, very lot of tragic elements.
You know, and but I thought it was fun.
See, one thing that I thought did... Because I just saw, I thought it was fascinating that, like, here's this mother who's just kind of, like, leaving her kid to do whatever. But then the moment that he watches the film, she's, like, going out to, you know, still try to figure out how to save him. But that also requires her to leave again. And I felt like the remake did a much better job at, like, at talking about motherhood in that way, because in the remake, Samara's mother is the one who, like, throws her down the well because of all of this, like, stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was just something that it emphasized that kind of motherhood and neglect and all of that more than I thought this one did. But I also don't know if that's what they were going for, because I felt like you definitely felt how kind of, like, dysfunctional the family was and how conflicted she was in, like, having this career and going out and doing these things and leaving her son behind. And then, you know, to top it all off, she's, like, also chasing, you know, it adds to the sadness where she finds, like, turns out that the girl was actually killed by her mother.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it did that a little bit better, the remake. But, I mean... One thing I did appreciate more with this film is that I feel like even though the pacing was off to me, it was much better paced than the remake. Like, I feel like the remake could have cut off like 5-10 more minutes. Mm. And this one, like, it was like, okay, we're doing this thing. Now we're doing it here. Now we're here. Now we're here. Now we're here. And there was a lot more things going on, and it wasn't as much, you know, kind of jerking you around.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that The Ring is a little bit more straightforward because they kind of trimmed it down. Because, I mean, you should read the book. I pulled it out because
Oh, it's a book.
Yeah, it was based originally on a book by Koji Suzuki called Ring. It's like a whole series, Ring, Spirals, something else. But it's radical, even more different. Like, you know, it's the main character is a man. He's the uncle of the girl who dies, and then he has, like, this best friend, and they're, you know, trying to hunt this down. But it's just, it's much more convoluted, story wise.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, it's a man that's the center of everything.
Yeah, yeah. So I've always thought it was interesting that when they adapted it, they chose to switch it to a woman.
Huh, interesting. This is very interesting. Okay.
Anyway, so
we'll have to link the book in our show notes as well, so that way you have a chance to read it.
Yeah, people should look it up. It's interesting, but it's totally different. Like, the best friend is a really horrible guy, but he's, like, still trying to, like, help him solve this these crimes, you know. The character that, you know, the Sadako Samara character's, like, background is even more bizarre. You know, so I think that the, you know, in bringing this to an American audience, you know, it was smart to sort of trim some of the, you know, like, they kind of combine the mother and the daughter together. So that, you know, like, the daughter has these strange powers that everybody's, like, you know, concerned with. And in The Ring, you know, she makes all the horses, like, commit suicide or what. I haven't seen The Ring in a while either. But I think that's a plot point.
There's also, like, a really weird, like, terrible suicide of the guy with, like, he drops the toaster or the microwave and...
Or, yeah, he gets and, on, he turns on the...
Yeah, he, yeah, like, turns yeah, it yeah, on.
Yeah, her and, father.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that they did do a good job of, like, just kind of trying to streamline the story a little bit, because this, you know, this is a little bit more, like, you know, they go on this thing with the mother, and she's, you know, predicting things and being called a fraud, and that drives her insane and, you know, to commit suicide, and the daughter's, like, killing people too with her mind.
Yes.
You know, but I like this because I'm a big fan of stories like this, like urban legend type things, like Candyman. I really, you know, I like that because it's kind of, it's a similar vein with, you know, us telling each other stories and trying to scare. You know, so you do like Bloody Mary and you go, I don't know if you ever did that as a kid.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, there's like that adrenaline, you know, and think, well, what if it happens? And these kind of movies are like about that, that kind of bring that sort of,
it's like, well, what if?
Yeah. So it brings that kind of fear, you know, alive that something is out there waiting to get you if you do some, you know, some such thing.
Yeah. For
like
sure.
Watch a tape or say the name in the mirror or whatever, which we have to do Candyman because I don't think you've seen that yet.
No, nope.
You definitely have to see Candyman because that's a lot of fun too.
Okay.
But I think it's in a similar vein with like urban legends and what that says about cultural anxiety, and that these sorts of stories are all over the world and, you know, repeat on and on and on and on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then inspire horror films, which we will remake to death as well.
Yes.
Which this, the Ringu's based on a, it's something called, let me find it real quick, Bancho Sarayashiki, The Dish Mansion at Bancho.
Ooh.
So it's a Japanese ghost story, kind of all about, this is from the Wikipedia, you know, broken trust, broken promises, but it's got like this, you know, story about the girl in the well who, it's kind of, you know, in that similar vein, she's betrayed or killed, you know, unjustly and tossed into a well and then reanimates or comes back as a ghost or whatever to haunt the
to
people
seek
who
revenge,
killed her.
Yeah.
So this is a, like a folk tradition in Japan. But I think kind of The Grudge is like that too, you know, where it's
yeah,
like it's
some similar. Sort of water demon.
These the like yeah, these are kind of similar to what you want to say? Just similar folk tales being retold in different ways in film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But point is the urban legends kind of thing. You're just looking at me like, did I grow a second head?
Yeah, what? You did. No, yeah, it's interesting because I feel like we have, you know, it's always interesting to see horror films in different cultures, especially around these supernatural elements, because you can kind of see it does speak a lot to those particular cultures. And you learn a lot more about the country and the people from there, in a way that you would get you get more than just like actually, you know, opening up a Zagat guide or whatever.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You know, I think horror is interesting in the fact that a lot of the, you know, concerns, a lot of horror does find itself in the same spaces in a way, you know, because it's like, you know, I mean, we have similar,
he's crawling on the mixer board.
You know, but we have like urban legends here, you know, about vengeful spirits and about, you know, ghosts that, you know, come and haunt you or hurt you. You know, there's like the Vanishing Hitchhiker. That's like a very iconic sort of, American. Well, I mean, this might not even be American because, again, this is probably something that's told all over the place, you know. But we think about those sorts of stories of Vanishing Hitchhiker or, you know, some woman wailing ghost in a graveyard somewhere. There are always somebody from the 1600s or 1700s. I saw a meme the other day. It's like, why aren't there any ghosts from 2003 like screaming about Britney Spears?
True. there was something about that time,
you know. Yeah, we kind of like an old Victorian looking ghost here. And You know, mm-hmm. So I think it's fascinating to see kind of sort of what we have in common, as well as, you know, what you're saying with, like, mm-hmm. you know, the particular ways those are expressed in different cultures, you know, like ghosts in Japanese, at least at this time period, like we're looking at like The Grudge and The Ring, they look similar, you know, with like the hair in their face or
yeah, white,
you know, white, stark white.
Stark white, pale, like dripping wet.
Yeah. So I do find that fascinating. I think
kind of like the guys I like, stark white, pale, dripping wet.
Dripping wet. I think the other thing that's kind of happening in Ringu, and it's, I think, similar to our dumplings discussion, mm-hmm. is sort of that the crushing modernity and tradition, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, and so there is that sense in Ringu, this virus-like curse, you know, because it's in this tape and you have to show it to somebody else and they have to show it to somebody else. They have to show it. So you have to keep passing it along, mm-hmm. Or else you'll die. You know, it's also, it's in technology, at least in 98, you know. Like
yeah, for
video.
Sure.
Nowadays, I don't know what would happen. I guess the little girl would project into your...
It's a YouTube clip or something
right,
like that.
Exactly. It's yeah, Vimeo, yeah, it's a viral yeah. YouTube clip going around. You know, but there's like that in Japan, like that kind of sort of technology spreading faster and faster and doing the damage, doing the harm. You know, I think there's somewhat of a conversation happening here if we're going to analyze it,
yeah.
you know, as saying something about culture, you
yeah.
know.
And Japan has always has, I well, I mean, as someone who's not Japanese and not mm-hmm. a student of Japanese history, I feel like Japan has always had that consistent struggle of mm. like, you know, how do we tradition versus modernity,
yeah.
and you know, in order to be truly modern, there's traditions that have to die. And in this particular instance, you know, Japan is also like a seat of technology. Like it's mm-hmm. where a lot of technology and electronics and things that kind of come out of. So it's interesting to see how, like, you know, this the way it spread through this videotape, this VCR. You know, it's making its way around, but it's also a very kind of traditional, a traditional fear and a traditional horror that's coming out.
Too. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, as a combination of these sort of ancient, you know, folk tradition, ghost stories mixed with, yeah, you know, an encroaching world that will rely exclusively almost mm-hmm. on technology.
And it's like inescapable. That's the other thing too. That
yeah.
Like, it would be interesting. They remade it again, right? They remade Ring again. Right?
Well, no, they did. They've done the sequels. So like the original movie. So I have, where did I put it? I don't remember when I got this. Ringu Anthology of Terror, 4 films that inspired the Ring. I think I got it from one of those, like clubs I was part of.
Oh, nice.
You know, so it was like a collection. So there's Ringu and then Raisin, R-A-S-E-N. That's the sequel. They were actually released simultaneously.
Oh, okay.
With Ringu doing really well and then Raisin like bombing and people not liking it as well. So then they did another sequel, Ringu 2, which is another direct sequel to Ringu. And then Ringu 0. So that's like the original. And then I think there are a couple others that aren't in this set. Because, I mean, I've had this set for years now. I mean, I remember what year I got it. Probably 2004
or 5. Even the American version, they did like...
Yeah, so then they did Ring 2 and then Rings most recently. But it's not like a remake. It's just a continuing. Yeah, kind of in the same, like what you're talking about. I think it's a viral... Like it's more internet based. Mm-hmm. I saw it one day, but you know,
it would be interesting to see with a film like this. It probably maybe came a little too early in technology. Like it could really do something now as far as like viral video and that. But it's so interesting because it's like mm-hmm. it's like the phenomenon is that it's going viral and it's actually killing people.
Yeah.
But it's also very slow because of the limitations of the technology. So, you know, we can now analyze it, you know, in that lens and think about it. But, you know, at that time, it was probably like, oh, this is pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think, like, going back to your point earlier about motherhood, I think that that is very obvious in The Ring, given that, the daughter is killed by her own mother. Mm-hmm. And Naomi Watts' character, Rachel, you know, kind of the relationship she has with her son, where the son is very parentified, you know, ironing her clothes. And I mean, that's shown in Ringu as well. You know, when she comes home right in the beginning to get ready to go to Tomoko's funeral.
Mm-hmm. He put her clothes out for her.
He had already put her clothes out for her. He's zipping her up. You know, I mean, he's very, obviously, he's also very self-sufficient. But I don't know if that's a comment. I don't know if that's meant to be a comment, because I think maybe that is a little more typical, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In mm-hmm. that culture, whereas here we kind of...
We don't expect that kid to
be... We infantilize kids a lot, as if they don't understand things or they don't know things. Yeah. You know, we... Especially when it comes to adult stuff like sex or, mm-hmm. you know, using drugs or alcohol, we act like kids are completely deaf, dumb, and blind or something, you know.
Plus, I mean, like, he's like a creepy kid. He's like a creepy kid in the film, in the remake, The Ring, the kid, her son.
Yeah, I would think. But I also find this kid, he's kind of creepy in a way when he's, you know, sitting there staring at, like, the wall. And,
mm-hmm. and the shorts. Right. And the short shorts and the long short socks shorts and then high socks.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know. That's just,
maybe that's just fashion. That's just fashion. Okay.
But yeah, so I think it's just not surprising that it kind of shifts a little, because here by 2002, I think the idea of like a cursed videotape was even laughable. Mm-hmm. And sort of, you know what I mean? Because I don't even think I no longer had a VCR in the house by then.
Well, yeah, at that point, it's like, okay, well, you know, I think if you're talking about Ringu in 1998, you know, she only really needs to make those films until for another couple of years, because DVDs will be everywhere. Then,
right.
You know, then one person will die and that's it.
But by then, the idea, though, is like a virus. Eventually, everybody will see it.
Yeah.
You know? So where does it end? That's kind of, like, you know, the question at the end of the movie, like, how do you actually end this curse? You know, because we just have to keep passing it off. So either, you know, you just have to let somebody die. Is that a choice that you want to make? You know,
just show it to an enemy.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. She's like going to her dad to like show it to her dad. Right. I'm surprised they didn't like show someone who was antagonistic to her and then like have him be the one that they show it to.
Yeah. That again, scene, you know, maybe there's a comment being made there about dads.
Possibly.
You know.
Possibly.
Fuck that guy. What did he ever do for you?
Woo! Daddy issues podcast.
Right. That could be a whole other thing. I think our friend Marcella is going to have her own podcast about something like that. Should be out soon. where we can talk all about ACEs, our, you know, bad childhood traumas, how they resonate in your life today.
Yes.
I like to think if I died, I would definitely want to haunt a video cassette, maybe send it, you know, send it to people.
Yeah.
What kind of cool imagery should I do?
Your imagery? I don't know. I imagine yours will just be like a bunch of supercuts from Madonna tours. It'll be like bedtime stories and, you know.
That's not creepy.
The Super Bowl performance.
It's going to be like black and white image of that monkey thing over there. Close up of Hemlock's tooth.
You like.
Lilium's squinty eye.
You looking in a mirror, brushing your hair.
Yeah, I definitely have to have that.
You have the long hair.
I have lots of hair, so I do have to have that image in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, so like we were saying, this did kick off. I mean, it's such a big list of like horror movies that were inspired by the Japanese and others. I had a list here a moment ago and it vanished. So obviously The Ring and The Grudge, which we've mentioned. Dark mm-hmm. Water, did you ever see that with
No.
oh, what's her face? I don't remember. I don't know what her name is.
I have never seen Dark Water.
It was, you know, okay. It was interesting. It's, what is her name? Jennifer something. Jennifer somebody. That's so sad. I feel like Connolly. Jennifer Connolly.
Oh, Jennifer Connolly.
Yeah, she's in it. It's like about a apartment that's got like this nasty water spot that's like some kind of ghost. I haven't seen it in a while. That's a very loose interpretation. Pulse from 2006. The Eye that had, is that Jessica Alba?
Ooh, yes, yes. Where she has like an eye transplant and then she sees things.
Yeah, so that was also based on a Chinese movie. Shudder, based on the Thai film. Mirrors, which I did see in the theater. That was based on a Korean movie called Into the Mirror. Oh, One Missed Call, I remember those, and The Uninvited. You know, so this kind of sparked that whole time frame there in like the mid, early to mid 2000s, where everything was all about Japanese and Asian horror. I wonder what sort of inspires that kind of thing, you know, because I mean, obviously, Ringu did well, like, you know, in its own country, and then the remake obviously did really well, you know, so it's like, what, I wonder what inspires that. That'd be something to examine, you know. Besides, I mean, it's a good story. I do think the Ring is a good, it's a good movie on its own.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if it really even mattered. You know, maybe a lot of people don't even know it's based on this Ringu.
No.
And that's what we're doing today. We're educating people. That was the whole purpose of this.
We're opening up people's cultural horizons.
If you didn't know, this movie from 17 years ago was based on a movie that's 21 years old now. This, we could take this out to drink.
Yes, we could.
We could. other people are like, you know, because they're only 17 or 18, are like, I've never heard of either of these movies.
No.
What's a Naomi Watts? Who is she?
Who is she?
What season of Drag Race was she on?
Naomi Watts. That could be, she could be a drag queen.
That could be a drag
Watts
name.
Like the Watts neighborhood of Los Angeles.
Totally.
Yeah.
Naomi Watts.
Coming to the stage, Naomi Watts.
I like that. That's a good drag name. She should reconsider her profession.
Yes. She.
But no, but on its own, yeah, I do like The Ring. And I was definitely one of those people. I went and I bought a lot of like the original movies and watched them and, you know.
Have you seen the original Shall We Dance?
I have not.
Have you seen the remake, the American remake with Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez, Shall We Dance?
No.
Okay. You looked at me like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to, Joe?
Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez did a movie together?
Yes, Richard Gere, Jennifer Lopez, Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon?
Susan Sarandon is in it. It's Richard Gere plays a guy who, in a midlife crisis, starts taking dance lessons because he's like, he sees from his train the dance studio and like sees Jennifer Lopez in it. And then Jennifer Lopez plays a dance teacher at this kind of struggling dance academy. But she is, she's like a kind of like washed up ballroom dance person. and he's not like attracted to her. Like he's not like wanting to cheat on his wife.
Ah.
But it's based on it's American remake of a Japanese film called Shall We Dance that has a lot more to say culturally, like in Japanese culture, why it's not good for him to be like a dancer, for him to want to dance. So I feel like it does a better job of like the whole kind of ethos. We're just talking about Japanese remakes now.
Hey, you know, I'm definitely giving you your space on the cast here, on the pod here, to say your piece about Richard Gere. Richard Gere was in a movie called The Mothman Prophecies.
Yes, he was.
Which I enjoy and we should watch sometime.
With Deborah Messing, right?
With, yes, Grace. Miss Grace.
With Miss Grace.
Grace Adler.
Miss Debra. Debra Messing.
Look at that. She's punching him in the face. So
fun. I know.
y'all miss so much, dear listener, when you only listen.
Yeah, when you.
All right. Well, this was
our next movie is Memoirs of a Geisha.
Right. Yes, that's coming. It's coming up.
Memoirs of a Geisha. Memoirs of a Geisha. We're doing it.
It's very horrifying. In some ways, when you think about it,
get your Mitsuage ready because we're gonna do it.
Anyways, thank you for listening. This was, I'm not sure what happened this episode. Anyways, but
you are geisha.
Yeah, you're something. You are geishan.
You are geishan.
That's what that's actually about. You just want to watch. You just like a period piece.
I do love a period
piece. Costume drama.
I love a costume drama. I love Ken Watanabe. Yeah. I love Michelle Yeoh. You know?
I think I'm going to show you Takashi Miike's imprint. That's what we should do. That would be real fun for you. There's geisha in that.
Oh.
Kind of.
Is it? Is this a horror film?
Oh, yeah. Very horrifying.
Oh, God.
Anyways, thank you for listening again.
We appreciate you.
We do. We do. We really appreciate you. We'll be back next week with an all-new exciting episode. Stay tuned.
Bye.
Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davy Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California.